line fees that the county collects. I also want to just start the conversation by stating today we're only going to cover two items within the larger sign ordinance discussion in the hope that we can get through those two today and then come back at a subsequent meeting and cover the remaining topics. And you will see that within this outline, the items that we're going to cover, and we'll proceed from there. Thank you, Mr. President.
Yes, sir, for sure.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of council. I've got with me today Janelle Cornwell, Vince Robertson, Lawrence Lank, and our consultant, Kyle Gabronson. It's working. The first item, we just wanted to thank again publicly the members of the working group. I know that we presented their findings and recommendations at the workshop last month, but these folks really spent a lot of time and effort, and I just wanted to make sure that we recognize them for their efforts. After that workshop, the staff took the feedback that we received from that working group, as well as from council members, as well as from Board of Adjustment members as well, and identified the issues that were addressed by the working group. And as Mr. Lawson's illuminated, we're really only focusing today on billboards and electronic message centers, as well as an overarching theme of enforcement, which kind of is an issue with all the sign issues that we have. And we're hoping to address those other issues at a future meeting. The issues with billboards that we looked at were specifically size of signs, separation distances, height, location, and the handling of non-conforming replacement billboards. And the first one that we really wanted to address was the separation distance requirement. Currently, it's 300 feet from billboards, churches, schools, public lands, and dwellings. And it's measured at a radius, and that we've, at the board level, have seen variance requests from that. That allows for, and this is a kind of a thought that came up after the workshop, that would allow for a maximum of 17 billboards per linear mile. If you were to just go down highway and say everything was 300 feet, it'd be 17.6, but 17 is the general number.
But we don't want that 17, right?
I think that's the sentiment that we've been hearing, Ms. Deaver. So we were looking at the starting point, you know, where the discussion could go, and the thought was 1,000 feet separation distance between billboards would be a starting point that would limit to 5 billboards per linear mile. We would increase the separation distance between churches, schools, dwellings, and public lands to 500 feet. And again, continue measuring on a radius. Mr. Cole.
No, go ahead. I'll just finish up your sentence. I was just going to, like the concern we had about public lands, defining that. That is a kind of an open-ended.
I think that's one of the other things that we're looking at. We didn't want to delve in too much into the weeds today on some of issues. But those are, there are some kind of items of minutia, tweaking that we would be looking at as well.
Just making sure.
And that's one of them that's on our radar. Okay.
They call that slipping through the cracks.
Well, we want to make sure we're not having things slip through the cracks, Mr. Wilson. So.
That's what we're after. It's easier to get done that way.
Well, we're trying to be thorough.
Okay.
And if the other issue that we had looked at was specifically the size of billboards. Currently, you're allowed 300 feet per side, and the starting point that we had looked at was retaining that, keeping that at 300 feet. No double stacks, no side-by-side billboards. We've had some, we looked at what other jurisdictions do, and it's similar to what they have.
We have some up now. What are we talking about? Are they just non-conforming?
We've got a section here on non-conforming, okay, which hopefully will answer some of those questions.
Okay.
We're looking more at this juncture right here with the ones that would be new ones that are coming up. The height of billboards, right now we have 25 feet for billboards. We also have a 25-foot height maximum for on-premise signs, which has, I think, created some problems for folks with billboards who want to have their sign be able to be seen if there's an on-premise site there. We looked at what other counties do nearby. they're all 30 feet or above, and most common is 30 to 35 feet. And the starting point that we were looking at was raising the maximum height to 30 feet would give a little more of a buffer or clearance level for some folks to put their signs up.
Another question, Jamie. If we put it at 35 feet, we can always reduce it later to 30 feet.
Correct.
If we put it at 30 feet, we can't increase it to 35 feet.
It's certainly
is that
what
the way it usually works, right?
Yep.
Again, my suggestion maybe would be to
increase any time of the ordinance.
Well, you'd have to go. Oh, you'd have to you have to go through a whole lot of.
Oh yeah.
Got to start over pretty much.
Yeah.
So, again, I might suggest that since we see these other areas at 35 feet and 30 feet, whatever, maybe the starting point should be 35 feet. So in our discussion, we can decide whether we want to go to the 30 feet. Okay. I mean, I don't mind being more restrictive, but there could be some good arguments at the public hearing because we will have a public hearing, right? Is that
yes, sir.
Arlette, Mr. Wilson?
I agree with you said, George.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, just want to make sure. Okay. I mean, just a thought. I mean, it's
an expert.
I always agree with you. You said we don't mind being
Sam, more. Sam, that was part of our bargain.
You said we don't mind being more restrictive. I agree.
You want to agree with me on everything?
Duly noted, Mr.
Let it be known, Sam Wilson is saying more restrictive is good.
I know it.
That's on public record.
I didn't go as far as say that.
Moving right along, Jamie.
Sorry, Jamie.
No problem.
Just a
The next issue is actually where the billboards are located. We currently have front yard setback of 25 feet, side yard setback of 200 feet or 50 feet if it's greater than 200 square feet. There is no rear yard setback requirement. The staff looked at that and as well as the working group has recommended that a rear yard setback be established consistent with whatever the building setback would be for that zoning district. So that way it's consistent and there is some limitation in the rear yard.
I have a question for you. Mm-hmm. Overall, help me understand. Are we increasing any of the setbacks at all? I really would like to. As we grow, we need good setbacks.
The starting point that we have here was that there was no setback increase in the front and side yard, mm-hmm. but there would be an establishment of a rear yard setback, and currently there is none.
I'm thinking about the road.
Sure.
Might be a good idea.
Okay, similar to like that last question, if we put it at 25, which is more restrictive, could we increase that setback, or would that go? Can we increase it without having to re-advertise, or would we? If we put it established at 25 from the road, mm-hmm. I think a off-premise billboard, which is huge at 300 feet, at 25 feet, if there are future road expansions and other things, we are hindering or costing the taxpayers a lot of money by having to relocate those signs. So I would prefer, and then plus I think in the commercial, and tell me, Jenna, I think this is right, or Lawrence, 60 feet is the setback on like Route 1 and stuff for buildings, right? And anyway, I think 25 feet seems awful close for these huge billboards. It also impacts neighboring properties when you have them sitting out so far where you can't see the building. So I would suggest that we make it greater and we can always go less, I guess, right?
We could certainly make it greater if that's what council wishes.
Well, it's just a point I'm trying to make that at 25 feet with the big billboard and then we have on-premise signs also somewhere in that same range, they're still going to be awfully close. And a huge billboard, if you can't see it at 25 feet or 40 feet, something's wrong with your eyes.
Well, I know one of the things when you look at the code, Mr. Cole, is that there's kind of a logical progression as to how far things are. So on-premise is closer to the road, then it's off-premise, then the building. In if you were to move that, and certainly if that's what council
wishes. Well, that's what I'm saying. If you put it on-premise, see, I'd rather have on-premise even back a little bit.
It just seems
25 feet's awful close. So if we're allowing on-premise signs closer than that, I think we're just much, much too close. And I would rather put greater numbers and then debate it and see where we end up later on. And again, from hearing from the public hearing, but I know I ride down the road some way and I've seen some new signs placed up and you can't see the business that's right next door because they put up a new sign and it's blocked their building. So I don't want to do anything that's going to interfere, one neighbor interfering with the other neighbor's, ability to do commerce or whatever. So I would suggest we do it at 40 feet because the buildings are supposed to be 60 feet. So that puts them in front of buildings, but back. Is that, a starting point, or?
With regard to this conversation, Mr. President, may I?
Yes, sir.
On a procedural question, what are we doing today? So we're getting a presentation today of some recommendations. What are the next steps? I mean, this is kind of what I'm asking here as a procedure.
The next steps would be to have an ordinance drafted.
Based on what's presented today, based on what Councilman Cole is massaging?
All.
I mean, feel free to make suggestions if you see something, and if there's a consensus, maybe that's where the draft ought to start, because we've run in the past where we put in certain numbers, and then at the public hearing and during the whole process, we want to change, and then we're told we have to re-advertise. So you're better off putting in numbers that you can work with as opposed to something that might be...
So just to clarify, presentation today, we can obviously chime in, offer some suggestions only today. You can massage those suggestions accordingly. Then we post a public hearing.
There's a proposed ordinance, which we would then adopt the proposed ordinance. We would then post it for public hearing and all that.
We have a public hearing, and then we vote.
Yes.
At the same time, are we getting based on what's coming out of today, is planning and zoning going to provide a recommendation to the council? What are those
procedures? This will go to planning and zoning also.
Planning
and zoning sees it first. They have a public hearing first, and public comment first, then it comes to us. So, yeah, there will be at least 2 hours of public comment to it. And George, just a little bit on that. What we've been told before, which I'm sure is correct, is if we advertise an ordinance and have a public hearing, if we want to increase something in the ordinance, we have to go back to ground zero, but we can decrease.
Yeah.
In other words, if it said 50 feet, we could make it 49. Right. We could make it 51 without going back to the whole thing all over again. So.
Right.
And what you're saying, it's easier, I guess, in some cases to make them, if the council chooses to, bigger number that you could bring down if you wanted to bring it down.
Gives you some wiggle room for some of these numbers. Otherwise, we don't put any numbers in. And then I don't think the public has any indication of where we're actually going with this thing. So then we're wide open. So I like the idea we put numbers, but I'm just afraid if we make them too low or something, like Mike said.
So by doing it this way, it would allow us to streamline the process and get to a resolution, a decision quicker.
Yes, it would. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Which is a good thing for the taxpayers and for the community and for all involved.
Mm-hmm. May I say something on this?
Mrs. Deaver?
I have had time with people who have small businesses on my end of Route 1 and aren't able to put up a sign, but they just don't have enough land. And then all of a sudden, DelDOT comes and uses it right away, puts up some sort of sign that says, one way only. And, you know, the business people were very distressful. They're fighting for public land, which is the right of way. And so I think it's very important to have to move the commercial sign back further, because we want people to read DelDOT signs. I don't want our commercial business signs to obscure what DelDOT is doing on the highway for safety.
Well, that would be correct, because at 25 feet and 20 feet, and you've got other DelDOT signs plus all these signs, you've got a lot of signs within 25 feet of the road. And by getting maybe starting at 40 feet or 50 feet, I'm just saying the buildings, I know we're required to put a building 60 feet back from, say, Coastal Highway. So you could go 60 feet, but then you've got the building and the sign, whatever, problems. Okay. So 40 feet is a suggestion. Has anybody got any other thoughts on that?
In my area, it would be great. Thank you.
Okay. For this discussion, doesn't really make that big of a difference, I guess, other than it's easier to make an adjustment and have
the feedback for us is
going back.
Sure.
Right.
Understood.
Okay. Thank you, Jane.
You're welcome. Next, we had a couple other items that one was the prohibition of variances for billboard applications, so that you're limited to what the code requires, specifically as to sign, height, separation distance, and size. Those are really the three that seem to come up the most. And that would eliminate that proponent, so it would be something that applicants knew they had to meet, and if they couldn't meet it, then they don't get it.
Too bad.
Correct. We would also require the letter of no objection from DelDOT. I know this had been something that came up with the working group. It seems like DelDOT can process those rather quickly, so an applicant would know before they come to us, so that they also know if they had to get approval from DelDOT, they're going ahead and getting that as well in that process. The next one, this is, I think goes to your question, Mrs. Deaver, is the replacement or repair of non-conforming billboards. And this was an area that will likely also have some level of complexity to it due to the fact that there are many existing billboards, some of which currently do not comply, but if you were to increase some of the requirements such as separation distance and whatnot, you would have additional billboards that would likely fall within that class of non-conforming billboards. And one of the starting points there is that it must comply, if you were to replace it, you must comply with the size and height requirements. So it couldn't be, if you had a 600-foot square foot one, it would have to now be 300 feet. If it was 45 feet tall to begin with, now it would have to go to, you know, 35 feet or whatever height was established through the ordinance. You could not increase the degree of separation from a nonconformity. So if you were, say you were currently 400 feet from another billboard, and then we've established that the separation distance is further, it would, you couldn't get it closer to that. It'd have to be a no increase in that degree of nonconformity. And there would also be a prohibition on upgrading from static billboards to non-static billboards, electronic message centers. So those were some starting point ideas that we had.
Should it, the sign be damaged by a storm or some such serious hazard? Can it be replaced?
Well, I think that's what this would contemplate, is that any repair or replacement of an existing nonconforming billboard would, these starting point right. ideas, these they would have to comply with those.
You're going to let them rebuild?
If they complied with the size and height, they wouldn't be allowed to go, if they were 600 square foot, they wouldn't be allowed to go to 600 square feet, for example. They'd have to go back to 300.
Non-conforming was something that you wanted to phase out.
That's what he just said.
You're not phasing it out, though.
Well, and that's one of those things that we're all, you know, the other, if you wanted to go further over, it would be that there is no, I believe, is it Worcester? Worcester County has a prohibition, you know, if it comes down, it comes down, and they have, I believe, some standards where if a certain percentage is damaged, so you can replace a pole or what have you, but beyond that, the issue, I think, with Worcester County was those billboards have been there, they've had that prohibition in place since, I believe, the 50s?
1946 or 1957.
So these are very long-term things, yeah. And the quantity which they have isn't as much as we have, and it's also... some of the ones are, steel monopoles now and what have you. So the other, and this is just, again, a starting point. It could be more restrictive if that's what council wishes, or less restrictive.
May I say one thing about our whole, we had a couple of businesses in Maryland, marinas, boats, and, you know, and buildings and whatnot, and they were non-conforming. Had they been destroyed, we would not be allowed to replace them. Absolutely not. So I'm very surprised that we can do that here.
We're just suggesting it.
I'm just asking about non-conforming. I thought it was could be phased out as something we don't want eventually. We don't want more of that. We want something better. I mean, anyway, okay.
In other words, what's the definition of non-conforming?
Definition of non-conforming, exactly. That's what I was told in Maryland, and it affected my whole life. Driving into the marina, everything's fine. My God, it was no... I'm serious.
Sure.
It cannot be rebuilt under non-conforming law in Maryland. I'm just saying, you know, so we don't do it that way. Well, that's okay.
I'm just clarifying.
With regard to the non-conforming, I know that I've received some dialogue from residents as well as even other companies, billboard companies, owners, And the question that has been asked of me is, and I don't really have an answer because, you know, these decisions have always lied with the Board of Adjustment and not here at our level. And that is the billboards that are non-conforming and that have pilings, i.e. non-conforming, as Councilwoman Joan Deaver just mentioned. The intent of non-conforming means that you've been given permission to have what you have, correct? But you're non-conforming. It's a known fact, and so that is the expectations. So therefore, how is it possible that the Board of Adjustment is allowing replacement of the pilings to be monopole steel, i.e. forever, on something that's non-conforming? How has that been possible? That the questions that I have been asked. I'm not asking you for you to answer that today.
Well, that's under the current system. You're
saying. I understand that, but
we're trying to change.
But that's the question, and that I'm hearing as it relates to Joan Deaver, as Councilwoman Joan Deaver, and I didn't have a good answer because I'm not involved in those dialogues or that thinking. And so, with regard to this here, the monopole versus pilings, is that referenced in here as well?
It is not, but it...
because it's really important. I mean, monopole means it's forever, bottom line. I mean, basically. And forever is not non-conforming.
Maybe I'll change that word to permanent.
Jamie, let me... this is obviously a critical question, and this is why we're having this discussion, and we're looking to the five of you to tell us how you want your ordinance to read. If we want nonconforming to mean phase out nonconforming, then we will draft the ordinance as such. We didn't get into the level of construction, meaning the discussion of monopole. That's just a construction technique, which in and of itself means probably forever. But if on the non-conforming issue, if you would like billboards, i.e. off-premise signs that are non-conforming currently to phase out, we can draft the ordinance to reflect that. But we didn't want that to be our starting point suggestion to you.
But they could be maintained forever and kept up is what I'm saying. When I mean phased out, I don't mean phased out. You have to take your sign down. I don't mean that. Am I being clear?
I think the expectations of the public, based on this whole board of adjustments, they came to the council, right, for recommendations, seeking guidance, correct? The working group, the residents, the public in general, wants us just to have a good code and follow the code. I mean, if the definition is non-conforming, then why are we not following what that means? To me, it's common sense. I mean, and the public is very frustrated, I will tell you, with that. Mm-hmm. My question is, how do we address it right now? How do we ensure that in itself is being addressed as we move forward with this?
Well, if to Mr. Lawson's point, that's why we wanted to come to you all to get some feedback on, you know, how you want this ordinance to look. Mm-hmm. But also one of the things that we noted was that there would be a prohibition on variances as well, which would hopefully eliminate some of those concerns. And we were trying to dovetail that with this discussion on the non-conforming billboards as well. So we're kind of looking at that whole process holistically. So when there's this ordinance that's presented, we have something that is something that you all are comfortable with or comfortable with presenting so that you can get the feedback on.
How about, like, if you have a non-conforming sign and they want to change it, it's got pilings, and they want to go to something else, well, then they would have to come in. My understanding is they'd have to
public hearing.
Well, they wanted to take away a non-conforming. They want to modify a non-conforming sign with a monopole. Then they have to come into compliance. Mm-hmm. So we wouldn't give a non-conforming sign the ability to continue non-conforming with new construction. New construction means come back into compliance. So if they're content with their non-conforming signs, fine. Go as non-conforming forever if you want. Mm-hmm. But if you want to change because of technology, you may find that economically, you know, these two billboards stacked that are permanent would be a better investment to come back into compliance with an electronic sign, one, but in compliance. So, in other words, I don't see why we should be giving any
permanency,
being liberal with a non-conforming sign. So the goal is to always to try to come into conformity eventually,
right,
which may never happen, but still we're going in that direction is the goal, I would think. So a non-conforming sign shouldn't be able to get rebuilt and, you know, updated or whatever and still be non-conforming. Mm-hmm.
Wasn't there in our public, in the hearing we had, the workshop, wasn't there something said that some of the other counties around us that non-conforming, if there is, say, a storm comes through, and something happens to part of that sign, wasn't there a percentage or something that you could fix?
Yeah.
And if it was damaged beyond that, you couldn't fix it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there is that.
I hear that. I thought I heard that.
Mr. Goldbronson can probably talk better about that. I believe it's a county in Maryland that has that.
Yeah, I believe it was Wicomico County, mm-hmm. that if a sign comes down for natural causes, mm-hmm. a hurricane, whatever, right. catches fire, that if it's not destroyed beyond a certain percentage, mm-hmm. it could be replaced. If it's 100% loss, it's lost.
Okay. I understand
but
that.
If it say it was, I don't know the exact percentage, say it was a 50% loss, that it could be replaced. I know Worcester County, Maryland is sort of the opposite extreme. If it comes down, it's down, it's gone.
But a conforming sign got knocked down by a hurricane.
Well,
you can put that back up. We're talking, we're just, we're only talking a non-conforming sign gets knocked down. It's like a house. If you have a house, like I know in most of these towns, if you have a home and it's non-conforming and you want to redo it, if you take down just a couple, you know, if you leave up a couple walls, there's a certain, you know, like a gray area, right? You can get around it. But if you knock it all the way down, you've got to come back into conforming. So so you lose, like if you had a garage apartment and they're not permitted, you would lose it, like in Rehoboth and mm-hmm. some of these towns. So
that's correct.
I think the theory has always been with nonconformities, when you change it, you come into conformity,
yeah.
unless like, I don't mind like Mike saying here a percentage that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody should be able to repair something if there's only a certain percentage.
And keep in mind that a natural disaster or fire is very uncommon.
But any conforming sign gets knocked down, destroyed, or whatever can be put back up because they're permitted. They were approved.
Most of the new signs are very sturdy. It would be the older signs that would be
right.
So they would be.
Just
allowed to keep it back up.
I'm not saying do it. Just say it's just a thought.
No.
If that's minor happens to it, it's whatever.
I just pulled the information that was presented at the workshop, and in fact, Mr. Vincent is correct. In Worcester and Wicomico, there are percentages for damage that shall occur and when they cannot be replaced, and there are numbers associated with that. So, if what I'm hearing, the direction we want to take is.
I'm just me. I might be
a non-conforming.
I think that's fair. I mean, we're trying to be fair.
If something very minor happens to the sign, it seems a little unfair. It makes somebody take a whole sign down because of the 2-foot section got damaged.
I think the goal here, I mean.
I understand the goal, but.
I'm with you. I'm just saying that it appears the history has been is that sometimes people get away with stuff and sometimes people don't. I'll just be very clear with that. The public says why? Why are the rules different for some and why are the rules different for others? It shouldn't be that way. I mean, bottom line, this is what the deal is. Work with it. It's black and white. And the appearance has been it's not been that way. Let me rephrase that. The facts have dictated that it has not been that way.
But this new work.
And what we are attempting to do here is take the personalities out of it. This is it. Work with it.
Well, and I think that's why the elimination of the variance process on that is a big component to this.
Why? Yeah,
because
I have to
because
say,
that would.
Can I say something? We expanded our business under application for special exception. That's what it's called there. And reasons we upgraded the site. But every one of our neighbors had to come to that hearing and tell us what they wanted, and it was worked out. You know, why wouldn't a business that's non-conforming be allowed to upgrade, get rid of some of the old, nasty old boats and get them out of there and have a bulkhead? That would be in the interest of the public, would it not? But the county, the people there have to say yes. You have to have the hearing. It's got to be approved, is what I'm saying. I'm not sure why you would deny that right.
Well, and one of the pieces of feedback that we heard at the working group level was that if you had such the strict requirement like there is in Maryland, that from a practical standpoint, there may be times where folks in the middle of the night are going out and replacing a pole, and maybe you have something that has 8 or 9 poles on it, when if they could replace it with a steel monopole structure or what have you, that may be the lesser of two evils, so to speak.
And they could get an application. They could apply for that, is what you're saying, by follow what you're saying.
That was part of what we had put as the starting point, that they would perhaps be allowed to do that, provided they bring some other, they have to bring some parts of it in.
Meet a lot of criteria, but it would be an overall improvement in what is non-conforming and not something that we really, would rather not have.
Well, the state of Delaware doesn't permit any variances.
On their four roads.
On their four roads.
So, and again, we would require they have to go to DLDOT for letters of no objection on
right.
anything they
and,
do.
And I just think that we at the county level, we could easily deal with a similar approach to billboards with just no variances, and that takes it out of the whole
yeah.
problem. And when it comes to repairing and things like that, I think percentages doesn't bother me at this point. I think it's something we can put in. We can always take it out, right, Everett?
Yes.
If it was in there, we could pull it all the way out. So I would suggest putting in, like Mike suggested, from those other counties, and maybe have the staff look at what those two counties do, what would be good for Sussex County. It doesn't have to be the same, but do what you think would be the best for us.
Right.
And then we could move forward on that non-conforming thing. But I think there's that would eliminate a lot of the problems.
And I'd like to see in there, Mr. President, if I may, one more, and just make sure that we have in there some language. Again, we've had a lot of concerns, a lot of complaints. General public don't really understand this. We get the calls because, you know, all things end at the elected official, right? But truly, we are not involved in this. It's been the Board of Adjustment. The five individuals that are not elected, they are appointed and approved by this council. But the frustration in general, I think, has lied there because those decisions at that level by many. And I'd like to see in here something as it relates to if it's a non-conforming billboard, they're not permitted to change the pilings into a monopole, something along those lines. Now, we can start at that point because, again, it's non-conforming. Why are we allowing for permanency to a non-conforming It makes no sense.
Well, here I got a question. If we do these new when we put in new distances, we're going to have a number of things that could make it non-conforming, not just the size, the number of signs and stuff. So I just thought of that. We do have where if somebody has an existing sign and they wanted to replace it, and the sign's been there 20 years, whatever. And they wanted to change it, I could see maybe where we could be lenient with replacing a sign, making it come into conformity with size and setback from the road and things like that, but they could place it back in that same location
sure.
because it's been there, established there, it's already been permitted. So
grandfather.
Grandfather that part of it, of the non-conformity.
Right.
So maybe on some of these non-conformities, we could grandfather some, others there'd be no lenience. And like I said, we one of them is what concerns me is the double signs, the triple signs, the right. angled signs and all that.
Well, the goal would be to make them more conforming.
Bring them in more conforming, but make the actual structure conforming, but then maybe be have a little give when it comes to the setbacks and these other things that also impact it with a non-conforming.
Yeah, the one point
that
on that, I think that's what we try to do here, Mr. Cole, because
okay.
we,
does that make
no
sense?
Bigger, no taller, it has to be in conforming on height and size, but you as long as it's in that same location, it's
right.
it's okay, is what kind of the starting point that we had here.
But
was.
I would also, if somebody's going to replace something with like poles and they're 25 feet from the road, I would like to see it put back further. So between the 25 and 40, maybe it doesn't have, maybe 40 is a problem because of some obstruction or some structure. But maybe we ought to do is have some, I don't know if you can do it, but put some wording in there that says that, sign would be, have a greater setback.
Yeah.
But yet allow,
becoming more conforming.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
We're growing.
The challenge on that is you still have separation distance requirements. So that's the nebulous
still
that
we have to
get creative with in
right.
the ordinance.
So some of the areas I can see we can work with the nonconformity, but then part of the nonconformity issue we don't want to allow, and that would be the, like you said, the size. And
Mr. Wilson has a question or a comment.
Well, my opinion is when it comes to Forest Council, we've already said it that what can be built there, it should be the end of it. Why are we going back and changing the rules on water change? I believe when we make a commercial, that should be another. Why should we change something when people move in around the signs and just keep building up close to it and say, oh, we want this change. We don't like this. I think they're way off base when they do things like that. I wouldn't like it very much if I had a sign already put up and I got permission from this county that I could put it up. Mm-hmm. 10 years later, to come along and say, "Oh, we don't want, you can't build that sign that way. We can't, you can't put those poles on this sign." 10 years later, I've already come before this council, say, and who am I to go back and change it? And who are they to come along and jump grandfather law? And we just want to do away with grandfather law if it's the way we think.
Mm-hmm. May I say something to that? I understand that, Mr. Wilson. Our businesses were started before they had zoning laws. And it was given some consideration, and I think it should be. How can you conform if there's no zoning law?
Well, I'm going back to answer your question, Joan. You said they had a conforming law. Well, if they already went before the council and they got a permission, who are you to change it?
It's non-conforming when it was in business in 1930.
Okay. Jamie, is it a permit that they get when they go to get a non-conforming, or I mean a special use? Is it a permit?
Right now.
Uh-huh.
I believe they go, if they're rebuilding, they have to get a special use exception.
Okay, is that...
Just replacing it, I don't
but
think...
But is a special... What is the definition of a special use exception, Everett or Vince or somebody, or legal boys? I know it. I got them all over. I'm looking all over the place. Would you... You know what I'm saying? A conditional use is a permit.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Change of zone is actually a change of zone, an ordinance.
But a special use exception is something that can be granted, and it's specifically in the code that there are certain special use exceptions that are permitted in certain districts. And mm-hmm. for example, billboards are permitted in there's several districts, but C1 is kind of the primary one that we see. So it's one that through the ordinance would go right to the Board of Adjustment at that level for a hearing and an approval, and they have to prove that the use does not substantially affect adversely the uses of neighboring and adjacent properties. That's the standard for a special use exception.
But, Mike, just a simple question. Would you consider, like we do with a conditional use, which does similar stuff, but it's a permit, conditional use permit. Is this a special use exception permit?
Yeah, you should be.
I think it's, I mean, it's...
How would a judge, since the lawyers can't agree, how would a judge look at this? Anybody, I mean, is it...
Well, I know if it was my business,
I'm just curious. I'm just curious, because I think if you look at this as if it's a permit, that's one thing. Because permits aren't quite as, you know, in stone as a change of zone or some other things.
Well, I think the difference there is that's a, you know, legislative change similar to a change in zone. Mm-hmm. A special use exception, something you're going, and we have them for daycares, we have them for cell towers, we have them for a whole host of items. So,
but maybe in this whole thing we're doing, maybe we actually refer to it as a permit.
Yeah.
Because a permit is something that sounds like it's granted for, you know, it's not granted forever. Right. It's granted for such and such for this. Well, and if you violate the terms of the permit, say in the permit, you can put in things. Like a conditional use.
Well, and the other...
George, how would you like to be just permitted for your house that you're living in?
No, I'm not. We're not talking about that. We're talking about conditional...
Would that mean be permanent?
Hey, Sam?
No, so you asked a question about a permit.
Sam, I own a townhouse, and it's
permit.
A conditional use permit.
Permit last.
I do have one. I do have a permit, and I could live in it.
Yes, I add to Mr.
You may not be able to live in it if you take and change your zoning, change of what you're thinking.
Those
permits are very important to business people.
And I know council has a busy agenda today, so I'll keep moving forward.
That's fine, but that's something to consider. That's all.
Thank you, Mr. Cole. The next issue we were looking at was electronic message centers, commonly known as LEDs. The starting point here was that we would require a permit and special use exception for all electronic message center billboards, including ones that are current billboards, that are static billboards that are being converted to non-static billboards. That would allow for a hearing at that level so that it could have to come before the board on that. We would also have some language about on-premise electronic message centers, which are becoming much more prevalent, to go before through the planning and zoning office if the proper documentation is submitted. And we've got some things that we're going to get to in a minute about luminance, and I think there's some standards that we would have there.
Mr. President, just comment real quick. I don't want to get... way off track here, but regarding to the electronic message centers, the way this is being proposed or written, and I'm not sure what the thinking is here or not, but are they permitted on getting back to that non-conforming billboard? That's the question. Right now, and also what's being proposed.
Right now, if you have a billboard that is legally up, you could change it to an electronic message center without having to go through.
In a non-conforming billboard currently.
Because you're not changing the fact that it's a billboard.
Yeah, it's basically just as if you were putting a different paper display on the front or painting the front. That is just the face of that billboard. So whether it's static, a painted sign, or electronic, so it's still a billboard. It is just the face of the billboard. It is not the placement of the billboard we're discussing. So yes, you can change that face either electronically or with paint or with a paper display.
But we're suggesting to change
that's it. Currently.
Right.
That's currently.
And Mr. Colvin,
and then what's in the proposed? What's in the new proposed?
The proposed would be that if you wanted to go from that static one to an LED, you would have to go through the board through a special use exception process. And again, we're going to get to some of the things that we would that as a starting point would be required as part of that process.
Yes. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
The motion standards, this was an issue that came up with the working group. It was discussed extensively, and the prevailing thought was that having motions and animation on signs is not something that should be not desirable. So we were discussing establishing motion standards for off-premise signs. The current ones only apply to on-premise signs, and we want to make sure that they are consistent. No moving images on any electronic message centers would be what the starting point would be.
How about seconds between them? Is that
right now it's 8 seconds for on-premise, and again, that could be something looked at as well. I think it's the numbers we heard were 8 seconds and 10 seconds.
Okay, the question would be is if there's no mention of numbers of seconds, can we add that in later at any number we decide?
Probably we want to put that in with whatever
should
ordinance.
Should we put something, a number in? Again, my thoughts are you should put it higher number so you can always get lower.
I believe 10 seconds is what we've seen at the
15,
high end.
Put 15 just in case.
Oh, I think I went back too far.
Yep.
Luminance standards, and this is the issue that seems to be also a big one. And signs getting too bright, particularly at night or when it's a cloudy day like today, or it's a little sunnier now. We would want to create some luminance standards so that signs aren't too bright. They all electronic message centers would be subject to these ambient dimming requirements, and anybody who applies for one would have to submit documentation that they have an ambient dimmer on the sign, so that it would dim as the sun goes down or clouds come out, so that we're not having signs that are so bright.
Automatically,
State of Delaware has these standards on their signs.
I'm not sure if they do, but I know that most of these electronic message centers, they either have that technology available or it's a small upgrade to get
okay,
that.
But does the state have a dimming requirement? Or I'm not, an ambient requirement, whatever you want to call
I'm
it.
I'm not positive if they do or
if
not.
If they do, my suggestion would be to do the same so that we're not looking at one sign and, whatever. I try to keep it uniform, and I'm not sure if the state has one or not. I have no idea.
We can look into that, Mr. Cole.
Yeah. It sounds good. If we have a dimmer that's automatic, according to the light out there, but something that couldn't be overrun, because that has been a problem. We've had to depend on merchants to comply. So is that what you're talking about?
Well, and I think enforcement is kind of an overarching issue throughout this whole theme. I know Mr. Cole has brought that up at the working group before, and it's an issue that has been discussed, and I think it's as far as staffing at odd hours when weekends, a lot of these ambient dimming issues are going to be issues at night when staff is necessarily on the clock.
But we're talking about a mechanism whereby it automatically adjusts to the light.
Correct.
And cannot be overridden. Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, I think that's the kind of documentation it's going to be. To even apply, you need to provide that you have that.
Uh-huh. So. And does not, in other words, cannot be adjusted higher.
I don't know.
I didn't know if that's what you
mean. If there's
proposing
a governor on these things or not, I presume there probably is, but I don't know if it's one of those things that's unlockable.
Oh, so it might not get the advantage
of that. The bigger thing is going to be the enforcement end to make sure the folks, once they have the sign up, are abiding by those.
Okay. it doesn't go well.
Well,
it doesn't go well.
And that's one of the issues that we've been looking at as well, is how can we improve that element as well.
So. Except for community bank.
These are some miscellaneous comments regarding electronic message centers. And one was that we apply these standards to all electronic message centers. No grandfathering needs to be something that, particularly with motion and luminance, you've got to abide by these standards. We don't want to have signs that are too bright, blinding light in the middle of the night, nor do we want to have movies and advertisements and commercials being played on some of these.
It seems the on-premise signs are being the biggest problem with that, all this movement stuff.
Well, and that's why we wanted to make sure that we're creating some standards that are enforceable for both on and off premise, because it's also easy to switch an on to an off with the technology the way it is now too, so we can help govern that. The as far as the enforcement arm, the starting point would be to increase the permit fees, and I believe Mr. Lawson had sent down to you a list of some of the current charges that there are for some of the permit fees, and the thought was that the increase in these fees would allow us to offset some of the increased costs. There would likely be some technology upgrades that would be necessary so that we could do things such as measure luminance at night, measure motion standards, and be able to capture them electronically or digitally so that we could have that for the enforcement arm. And I know that the current sign fees have been passed down to you. There are some numbers there it's pretty substantial as far as what the county averages with its renewals and new sign fees in a given year.
Has there been any thought to what type of enforcement we're going to do? I mean, is it going to be just anything about the enforcement? Do we need maybe one person, two people? Will it be part of an existing department? Will it be its own separate little operation? Or I mean, that we'd like to hear that also. I think that's more Todd, I guess.
Yeah, one of the clear items that have come out of this entire exercise is the discussion of enforcement, and clearly, the lack thereof, at least at this stage. When this all gets done, and then we want to change our level of enforcement in the direction of which the county has enforced signs, it's going to require us to go back and anticipate the staffing requirements for that. It will require training. It will require us to make sure that we have the right staff equipped with the right equipment to go out and enforce this. And then we have to have the fee structure in place, too, to make sure that folks view this in a way that is appropriate so they will change their behavior.
Yes.
Is it possible, like, say, if we, I don't, I'm just speculating, the constable, if he was the guy in charge of enforcement, is there a way that they can, a constable can write a ticket or something, or a summons or a violation ever? Do we have the ability to do that currently in our enabling legislation?
Well, one of the things we'd want to look at in any ordinance that we did prepare, that there'd be a provision concerning penalties and enforcement right in the ordinance. We'd look at the current ordinance to see what is there, what needs to be changed and added if necessary.
One short question. Who regulates what gets said on those signs? We have some cute signs on Route 1.
Well, I think delving into content is probably not where
First Amendment.
Where, who, what? Anybody, nobody regulates that? That's interesting.
Per our U.S. Constitution. Mr. President, may I?
Sure.
I think that's probably what is the regulating document, I would presume.
Yep.
So, which is a good one to follow. To Mr. Cole's point and Mr. Lawson's, I guess through this exercise, we will come up with an analysis of what's the new expenses to the county to enforce, i.e., and how that would relate to a proposed new fee to pay for that. Is that a correct statement? That's something that somebody will do an analysis and that'll get presented?
I think that'd probably be appropriate to do, you know, some sort of government, you know, here, if we increase fees to this or we have fines to this, here's what expected revenue would be and maybe expected costs.
Okay. Is there another slide in here regarding enforcement, or is this? Or is
no,
this
the, and again, that's kind of the overarching issue. The next slide is what we're going to talk about at a future meeting.
Okay, so therefore, I'll bring this up now, Mr. Okay. President. So enforcement, I have gotten calls, well, let me rephrase that, personal invites by billboard owners, people that own the billboards, complaining to me about other billboard companies stating that they're not following by the rules. They're pushing the envelope, and why are they permitted to do it, and we are abiding by the rules and regulations, and they're not. Why?
The idea of someone going outside maybe the copy face and having something sticking
well,
up?
Well, again, I'm not a billboard guy, but I receive the calls and the complaints and the concerns, and the questions are, why are they getting away with it, and why are we following by the rules, and they're not? And why are they continuing to be permitted? I said, well, because this county for years has always been a complaint-driven county, not an enforcement county. Is this your official complaint? Was my question back, and they said yes. I said, therefore, I will take your complaint to the administration, and we will follow through on your complaint. So that is rampant right now, I'll tell you, in this county, regarding not just the billboards, but other things. You know, permits, people have doing different things, and the county's coming down on them for not having the proper permit, proper licensing, whatever. Well, how come I'm getting complaints and getting a hard time, and these guys over here are not? Because, again, the history has been complaint-driven. And so, I believe the residents, you know, just want to play an even playing field. I really do. I think these are the rules. This is the deal. Run with it. And so, in other words, no more personalities. You know, this guy knows this guy, so they can get away with it. Mindset. These are the rules. Run with them. Now, if we need to look at changing the rules, let's do that. But as far as the enforcement piece, I think is really critical. I have to tell you. Vital, and the same person who provided the complaint was saying there is a really big issue with signs that are permitted per Mr. Cole's point for on site, on premises, but they're utilizing it as an off premise sign, i.e., they're advertising for businesses that are not located on that parcel. And I guess it gets back down to the enforcement piece. So
definitions. I think we got to define a lot of this stuff. It's a lot of gray area. It's difficult to enforce, and our current ordinance is so weak. So we need to tighten it up in some of these areas. And these are good conversations because you're right that people are pushing the envelope, especially the on-premise stuff right now, and more so probably than the off-premise, because the off-premise are major, usually right now, big companies, and they're not. I don't think is pushing things and trying to get in trouble. I think they try to comply. But I believe the on-premise sign we're seeing more of the weakness in our whole system. So, agreed, we got to tighten up. Like, if a business is going to get an on-premise sign, the business needs to be open.
May I, Mr. President?
Similar like that.
Mr. Wilson.
I tell you what, I hear this all the time about complaints. In fact, I've had complain about the dog barks. Well, I said, you're not allowed to have a dog here. They come and said, well, so-and-so has one. I really want a good excuse why they have one or don't have one. Rob's saying right here, what is the real reason they don't want it, that this sign is wrong? I want to hear a better answer than that. That's not good enough for me. Sorry, Mr. Rob.
Anything else? It's all good.
That's all I have other than the future meeting. We would be looking at scenic byways, bandit signs, and on-premise signs.
Why don't we move on-premise signs next? Because that is the next big, I think, problem. The other two scenic byways is I think are some still issues with the state of Delaware. They don't even have any scenic byways legislation or anything, right? My understanding.
I believe they're working on it.
And bandit signs, I just think the staff, if the staff could make some recommendations on bandit signs, how to deal with it. I don't know if we really need to. I think you guys could probably come up with a proposal on that one, but the on-premise and the off-premise has been the big issues I think facing this council.
And the business people would like to be answered.
For the council, Mr. President, for the bandit signs, I understand Mr. Cole's perspective, and we will bring recommendations forward. We want to make sure that you're comfortable with the recommendations so that once the enforcement goes into place, you get the phone calls, you realize why you're getting the phone calls.
Well, there you go. Get something put together and distribute it on bandit signs and the others, and then, like I said, we could do it, but I don't know if we need Jamie to come in or, you know, three attorneys to deal with bandit signs. Because I'd feel like a bandit myself, paying these guys so much.
This is a very complicated issue. We wanted to have a comprehensive approach.
Thank you. And the committee, all they've done, the work is great. And I will say that the last thing we're done is the one comment I have heard from the sign people. Not so much what they want the penalties or fines or whatever to be. Enforce your rules. Mm-hmm. So we're not going to enforce them. It was just a habit.
Right.
So, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mrs. Jennings. Grant requests.
Thank you, Mr. President.